The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You want basketball to return? Get everybody invested. You need incentive. We want sports to return? It's got to be an open playing field. All bets off. How about a World Cup-style pool play tournament? We're going to get nuts. Let's get nuts. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend, three-day weekend. Some sun, some suds. Some time off or whatever your routine has become. I'm glad to be back with you hanging out today. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to give you my predictions for the NFC North. Who will win? A ranking of the best quarterbacks in that division. And what will be the fallout if the Football Power Index predictions for what could happen this season come true? Which coaches could be gone? Which quarterbacks could be benched? That plus spy movies. I hope you did your homework. Five different movies nominated by the fellas on this show. Who nominated the best spy movie? And most importantly, most fun, who nominated the worst spy movie? That's all coming up a little bit later here today on the Will Cain Show. But it's looking more and more like everyone's trying to work out the parameters of a return to sports. The NBA is considering numerous different proposals for how they can bring back their season. And at a minimum, people are deciding, yes, let's be creative. At a minimum, they're deciding, maybe we should just do away with Eastern and Western Conference for this tournament. Maybe we should just rank the teams 1 to 16. At a minimum. Here's Brian Windhorst, ESPN's NBA insider.
If you sit down and actually look at the numbers, and we have talked to the people, any rational person who looks at this with a level head is going to say that this needs to be a 16-team playoffs scenario. And there's about 20 different reasons. Number one, it's half the people you got to protect, which means half the test, which means half the chances of people, you know, getting infected. Number two, after the first round of the playoffs, you reduce it by half and then by half again. It reduces the amount of time and it reduces the expense. And it solves the problem that you're going to have of lottery teams who have no hope of making the playoffs, potentially not even, like, I don't see what the incentive, other than being a good partner, as general manager Bob Myers has said, I don't see the incentive to have Steph Curry play 1 second.
A 1 to 16 seeding for the NBA playoffs is an interesting creative approach, but not just because it eliminates some teams that are already outside the playoff picture. It's true, as Brian Windhorst said there, there's some ambivalence at the bottom of the NBA standings for returning to play. That is, if you have to finish off the regular season to establish the standings to find out who those top 16 teams are. As an example, Portland Trail Blazers guard Damian Lillard said he'll be with his team, but he's not going to play. The risk is not worth it, said Lillard. If there is no playoff picture for the Trailblazers, why should he take the court for 3, 5, 8 games, whatever it takes to finish off the NBA season? There are other players, according to reports, who are suggesting the injury risk, the coronavirus risk. None of it is worth it if there's not some shot at a title at the end of the picture. It does bring up some questions about the end of the NBA regular season on any given year when some team is eliminated. But we can understand that this year, the risks in particular are heightened. But still, if we are going to refigure the NBA playoffs, might I suggest we get even a little more creative? Might I suggest we bring in a few more teams to compete in the playoff picture? And might I suggest we look to the world of soccer to find a way to bring in fans and bring in teams who might, in a shortened series, have a shot at an upset and ultimately bring in excitement for all of us to be tuned back in to sports. This past weekend, Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning defeated Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady in a charity exhibition golf match on TNT. It set record numbers of viewers, peaking at 6.3 million viewers for a half-hour period towards the end of that tournament. And while it was fun, and there were certainly some moments of highlight, notably Tom Brady shutting down Charles Barkley's trash talk with an amazing shot right on the tail end of Chuck, giving Tom Brady a hard time like everyone on the internet was doing, what that 6.3 million shows is we're starving for live sports, for creative sports. And I think we should look, perhaps, to the World Cup of soccer as an inspiration for how to get creative and bring fan bases and teams into the fold. The way this would work, and there is some discussion that teams and owners might be talking about these kinds of ideas, is to set up essentially a pool play format. Four to five different teams in four to five different brackets, all playing each other numerous times to find who can win that group stage. The winner and perhaps the second place team of that group stage then progress on to a tournament of five, seven games, whatever it may need to be. This is a way you can bring in teams who are just outside the playoff standings. Maybe a team like the Portland Trailblazers, who I believe were sitting in ninth when the NBA season was called off. This is how you create incentive, investment from fans and players, and a reason to keep playing. I believe we have to look at this. As I said to you last Friday before we took a vacation for Memorial Day, if this is an asterisk year, embrace the asterisk. Try something new. Try something creative. Try something that could end up being better than what we normally have in a sports calendar. Maybe it sticks. And if it doesn't, we're always going to look back on 2020 as the great asterisk anyway. So get creative. Get nuts. Try something new. I think, short of bringing everybody into a playoff format, a massive tournament with everybody in the league taking part in shortened series, try this World Cup pool play advancement into a tournament style idea. It would be fun. You'd be in. We'd all be there for that elimination style. As many teams as possible invested, tournament. Again, Brian Windhorst, ESPN's NBA Insider, talked about an Olympic style round robin tournament here that could be a possibility as well.
You know, there's been several things under discussion. One of the things that has been mentioned to me is a European basketball style or international basketball style group phase where the teams are put into groups and they all play each other in a round robin format and they advance out of that group phase just like you see in the Olympics every 4 years. You know, Team USA plays Angola and Turkey and Lithuania and, you know, two teams from each of those groups advance. That could happen.
Let's hope that does happen. The NBA already suffers from predictability. The NBA already suffers from monotony in the first couple rounds of the NBA playoffs, much less the regular season. Now is the time to embrace the creativity. Now is the time to look for solutions, not just to our current predicament, but to those long-term problems of predictability. Now's the time to go for it. Asterisk year anyway in 2020. No risk proposition. That's my opening take brought to you by My Computer Career. Training for a better life. The Football Power Index is out, and it has some interesting predictions about who's in and who's out of the NFL playoffs. And if it plays out the way the statistical analysis suggests, we're going to see some coaches lose the reins of their team. And we're going to see, perhaps, not just some great, but some legendary quarterbacks be cycled out for some young guys. I'll tell you who exactly could fall out if the season falls this way, coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
This is Will Cain.
Does Will Cain look like the guy pulled over on the side of the highway in his convertible trying to talk his way out of a speeding ticket by angrily reminding the officer, my taxes pay your salary, pal?
No. No.
The Football Power Index, a statistical analysis of what will happen to the 2020 NFL season. Well, it says the same thing I've been trying to tell you all along. Cowboys are contenders. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Your top five Super Bowl contenders, according to the NFL's FPI, go like this here. Four that are no surprise. The Chiefs and the Ravens come in at number one and two, and the 49ers and the Saints come in at number three and four. But at number five, when it comes to Super Bowl odds, it is the Dallas Cowboys. For what it's worth, these are your playoff teams as predicted by the FPI. Your division winners in the NFC, the Niners, the Saints, the Cowboys, and the Vikings. Your playoff teams, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Eagles. In the East, your division winners, in the AFC, your division winners are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Pats, and the Colts. And your playoff teams are the Steelers, the Bills, and the Titans. Ryan Clark was on Get Up this morning. He didn't like the idea that the Cowboys were somehow ranked ahead of the Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings, and I don't know if we are just going to continue on this Kirk Cousins hate, but we watched him orchestrate a drive that won us playoff game in the Superdome against the New Orleans Saints, which is an extremely tough place to play. We've seen this team continue to build this defense and get rid of some secondary pieces that weren't playing well and go high in the draft and get Jeff Gladney in the third round, get a guy like Cam Dantzler from Mississippi State to build on the outside, a 6'2" plus corner, and also the ascension of Kirk Cousins. Now I have Gary Kubiak now, who does what Kirk Cousins does well, and Dalvin Cook, one of the top running backs in the NFL. So for this team to be behind the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, all teams who I believe they will be better than this season, is crazy to me. And to have them down in the teens, I think it's just disrespectful, and we will see Mike Zimmer's team play late into the playoffs this year.
I agree with Ryan Clark that the Vikings had a very nice offseason and will be much better this year. I told you a few weeks ago that they were one of my favorite drafts coming out of the 2020 NFL draft. I'll tell you a bit later on the show exactly how I predict the AFC North to go down. What more, I'll rank the quarterbacks in the NFC North, tell you exactly where I think Kirk Cousins falls. But I disagree with Ryan Clark that it's crazy to have the Vikings behind the Cowboys or the Eagles. You're going to see both of those teams coming out of the NFC East as strong NFC championship game contenders, and therefore Super Bowl contenders coming out of the NFC. But if the season does unfold the way the FPI predicts, I've got a couple takeaways for you that will be the driving storylines at the end of this coming NFL year. First, the FPI predicts the Houston Texans will not make the playoffs. If that's the case, I predict Bill O'Brien's tenure as the head coach of the Houston Texans will come to an end. I know he's also the GM, but tensions are running high in Houston, and tensions around the quarterback and the coach, they do exist. Every decision O'Brien has made has been questioned. Trading away DeAndre Hopkins is a career for O'Brien defining move. And if it doesn't translate into wins, into a playoff appearance, I think O'Brien will be one of the top hot seat coaches in the NFL this year. The FPI predicts the second worst record in the NFL to belong to the Washington Redskins. The Jacksonville Jaguars are predicted to be the worst team in the NFL, and that would put them in the driver's seat for Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. But if the Redskins end up the second worst team in the NFL, what my prediction is that will bring an end to Dwayne Haskins' time as the franchise quarterback for the Washington Redskins. I don't think they'll pass on a guy like Justin Fields coming out of Ohio State to turn the reins over to. So it won't just be coaches that find themselves on the hot seat. It will be a Josh Rosen type situation in Washington. Haskins will have more than 1 year to prove himself, but they won't pass on yet another franchise quarterback for another year of Dwayne Haskins should they finish second from the bottom. The Atlanta Falcons also are predicted to miss the playoffs. And if that's what happens, I believe there's a coaching change in order in Atlanta as well. Dan Quinn's been on the hot seat. I had Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, on the Will Cain Show at the Super Bowl, and I asked him about his coach. And he really was pretty blunt about it, that it was going to have to happen. There was going to have to be wins. There was going to have to be some results soon for the Falcons. I think another year of missing the playoffs would put Dan Quinn not just on the hot seat, but out of a job. And then you heard me rattle off the playoff teams in the NFC. I gave you your four division winners. The FPI predicted the Minnesota Vikings to win the NFC North, and it awarded wild card spots. Remember, there's seven playoff teams, so it awarded three wild card spots to the Seattle Seahawks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. That leaves the Green Bay Packers without a playoff spot. What happens if the Packers miss the playoffs? Ryan Clark addressed that as well on Get Up.
Even when we have Aaron Rodgers, we aren't competing. We can't even get to the playoffs, not the wild card round, not the divisional round. And so what's the use in waiting on getting Jordan Love some live action reps if we aren't at the top of the NFC with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? And you can look at this two ways. You can say that it's the executive's fault. You can say that it's Matt LaFleur's fault for not getting enough to help Aaron Rodgers win some games. Or you can say this is great planning. We understand that we are looking forward to the future and that Jordan Love is that future. And if that's the case, if you don't make the playoffs, why wait to start your future plans? Let's get Jordan Love in there.
After the NFL draft, I set the over-under at 3 years. How much time was left on the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay? That was quickly dismissed. I had Mike Sando of The Athletic on, and others said, oh, hammer the under on that. He said one and a half would be the over-under for Aaron Rodgers' time left as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. What you're hearing now is, if that is another year, maybe two, for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, what happens if they falter this year? What happens if they fall out of the playoff race? What happens when you're playing meaningless games, perhaps, in December? Do you move on with the future? Do you make the change to Jordan Love? On that note, Nuno, I know you had a question for me, a sort of either or for two quarterbacks in the NFC North.
Yeah, so I asked which quarterback, if the Packers are bad, which quarterback ends up starting more games for his team this year, Jordan Love or Mitchell Trubisky?
Mitch Trubisky dealing with Nick Foles, or perhaps already backing up Nick Foles with the Chicago Bears. I think the answer is Mitchell Trubisky. While I hear Ryan Clark, while I hear it that they might as well move on and give Jordan Love some starts, I don't think that the Packers are going to be very quick to make that decision. I don't think they're going to be that far out of the playoff race that they're going to play meaningless games in December and hand the ball to Jordan Love. I think they're going to keep the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands and see if he can pull a miracle out in terms of a playoff spot. I can't imagine that Jordan Love ends up starting 2-3 games this year. And I can see Mitchell Trubisky getting 2-3-4 starts with the Chicago Bears. Either Nick Foles gets hurt or ineptitude causes Matt Nagy to switch back and forth between quarterbacks. I don't take Jordan Love over Mitchell Trubisky. I think Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback this entire coming season for the Green Bay Packers. Those are my predictions. If the predictions for the NFL win totals holds true according to FPI, we can ask Tim Hasselbeck what he thinks about whether or not Aaron Rodgers holds on to his job for this entire year. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Can't get enough Will Cain.
What's up, Matt?
How do you do it? How do you have the monopoly on the truth? I need to know.
I don't know. It's really quite uncanny, isn't it?
You are almost never wrong. I love you. You are, without a doubt, one of the best things out there.
Don't worry. More coming up.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
This is Will Kane.
I think people kind of overestimated how good that team was really going to be this year. It's a little bit like people saw you on First Take and they were like, oh, let's give them a radio show. And then they hear you on radio and they're like, okay.
Who's the FPI overrating right now? Nobody better to tell you what's overrated than Tim Hasselbeck here on the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new shower session videos now at youtube.com/progressive. See there? Overrated. Progressive. ESPN FLS, Tim Hasselbeck's on the phone lines. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Will.
I heard you thought this FPI prediction probably did the Packers a little dirty. They've got them missing the playoffs. They got them on the outside looking in. Some like 8 projected wins. And you like the Packers a little better than that this year?
The Packers? Yeah. Like at 15? Look, they were 13-3 last year, right? They've invested in their defense. They've got continuity on their defense with Mike Pettin still there. And you have some good young players that are also going to improve on that side of the ball. Yeah, you know, you look at them offensively and, you know, they have a running back scored 19 touchdowns last year, a quarterback that hasn't thrown more than 8 interceptions since 2010. Like, we all know you win by not turning the football over. And they're at 15, like, behind Indy and the Rams. I'd say Green Bay is insanely too low. I feel like people, you know, kind of so banged up about their draft that, you know, they literally put them like they are dead middle of the league. That's wild to me.
Do you like the Packers better than the Vikings? The Vikings are also a little bit lower than at least Ryan Clark thought they should be. You like the Packers better in the NFC North than the Vikings?
I think I do. I do think the Vikings are a good team, and, you know, defensively they'll be good. And, you know, the Stephon Diggs situation, I think is could change the way that team looks. Look, they'll run the football. I think Kirk Cousins is better than people ever give him credit for. But, you know, if the young receiver they drafted isn't somewhat similar to Stephon Diggs, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Adam Thielen. And I don't know. I think they're good. I think they could be a playoff team, but I don't think I would have them in front of Green Bay. Like, here's the other thing, too. Like, you got a really angry Aaron Rodgers, you know? I think you've got a pretty motivated and angry Aaron Rodgers right now, too, which I think is good for the Packers.
Angry over the Jordan Love drafting and everyone doubting him?
You think? I mean, look, here's why I don't like it. I mean, you think about what the Packers did. They drafted Jordan Love. They moved up to do it. Then they draft, you know, A.J. Dillon in the second round, and like within 14 picks of where A.J. Dillon was drafted. So in striking range for the Packers, you know, are guys like Chase Claypool and, you know, Van Jefferson and, you know, like guys that could legitimately help Green Bay. So, yeah, I think when you look at that, like, listen, I think that, yeah, I think he's mad. I think rightfully so.
Yeah, I think the question becomes, does that, and there's no doubt, I'm sure, that he is. Does that motivate him to play better, or does that tear that team apart? There's already questions about Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur and how much on the same page they were. And what does this do to that relationship and how productive it can be in that environment? Maybe he's like Tom Brady, you know, make him mad and he holds out an amazing shot. But this seems more like an interpersonal anger rather than a competitive anger.
Yeah, you might be right, but I think he also knows, like, if he plays well, like, that's good for him, and it puts Green Bay in a tough spot in terms of what they do with him. And, you know, maybe he has a little more control over it at that point.
Did you watch the match yesterday, Hasselbeck?
I did. It's amazing.
Well, it's amazing. I figured you're a pretty big golfer, I think. You know, you golf with Wingo.
I like to play golf. I don't know that I'm a big golfer. I'm not all that good. But one thing I would say is here's the thing about it. My big takeaway on the whole thing is literally Brady, think about how bad the day was, right? Okay, so you lose, right? So you're playing and you lose something and he's competitive. You want to win. He literally is so bad. Not hitting drives into the fairway. He's, duffing chip shots. It's actually not going great. Peyton's giving him a hard time about Foles and Eli, splits his pants. But literally the only thing we will remember 5 years from now is the ridiculous shot on seven. Even when it was the worst day possible, he wins out.
Yeah, Barkley made it because he did it in the face of Barkley's trash talk. He just rose to that one occasion, and it was awesome. It was absolutely incredible. Wait, so if I drop you into that, where would you have ranked? Would you? I can gather you're putting yourself ahead of Brady's game yesterday.
Well, I don't hold out. I can't do that. I don't know. We'll have to play. Last time I talked to you, you said you were moving down close to me. So
no, I didn't say that. I said I'm there now. I'm no golfer. You'll beat me. There's no doubt about it. You're Country Club Connecticut. I mean, if you want to go in a bass fishing tournament, I'd probably get you on something
like
that.
Or if you want to do a pull-up contest, who would win?
I
already won the pull-up contest.
Well, you've had shoulder surgery since then, I believe.
So wait a second. So I won the pull-up contest. I could beat you. Am I better than you at everything? Are we establishing that?
I think you probably are, Hasselbeck. Yes, you were an NFL quarterback, so you probably are. Tim Hasselbeck.
You were a water polo player. Well, I mean.
Yeah. Yes, I got you in most aquatic events. I would think I have you in most aquatic events. Maybe not all. You probably beat me in synchronized swimming. I've seen your rhythm. Tim Hasselbeck here on the Will Cain Show. Speaking of these FPI ratings and Tom Brady, they really like the Patriots still. Bills and Patriots, in a virtual tie for the AFC East, but also both of them, I believe, both of them in the top 10 ahead of your Packers. And we don't even know who the quarterback is. I guess we do. It's going to be Jared Stidham, but I can't believe that statistical analysis believes in the Patriots that much without Tom Brady.
I'm shocked on that one as well. And, you said, Stidham, but I don't really think they're done addressing the quarterback position, in terms of who they have on their roster. So, yeah, New England as a top 10 team is surprising to me. And then only one spot behind Tampa Bay. And look, with Tampa Bay, I kind of thought they were a little high as well, but I can understand that one. But the uncertainty in New England, remember, all we were talking about is how the reason Brady was leaving is they weren't getting him enough help. So you're going to tell me, so now with Jared Stidham, that's enough help for them to be a top 10 team? And then you look at a team like Pittsburgh. Kevin Colbert, who's done an incredible job putting talent on that football team, and then they're getting Ben back, and he's been adamant about this being kind of a better version of Ben. They were 8-8 with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and kind of all types of drama at quarterback. So if they just get a pretty good Ben, they're better than New England. So
hey, real quick, on that same analysis, would you apply that to the Bears? The Bears were 8-8 with Trubisky, and they have Foles in. Are you rosy on the Bears as well by that same analysis?
No, because I'm not really sure what – now, listen, I think Chicago at 21, that seems, behind a team like Cleveland. That seems pretty low to me. There's another glaring one, I think, Will, really glaring. And I think it jumps off the page as much as, Green Bay being at 15 for me, that I'm shocked you haven't asked me about yet.
Yeah, I have a feeling where this is going to go. Go ahead.
You really think there's a fifth best team?
He's talking about the Cowboys coming in at number five. I think the Cowboys are a legitimate Super Bowl contending team, so it doesn't bother me at all. Yeah.
So you think you think Dallas at five is in front of Seattle, by the way. I just
one score games all over the place.
So explain to me why. I think you can kind of talk yourself into it. There's maybe what people did. They're like, hey, Alden Smith with DeMarcus Lawrence. Now we're so you're taking the total upside of Alden Smith and you know, you say, hey, quarterback just came off his best year of his career, and, you know, and so that's a good thing. But like,
and they were better than 8-8 a year ago. They were in a ton of one-score games. They lost those games. Good. You know, offense is consistent from year to year. Defense can improve. Yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense.
And so the fact that, like, you are literally scrapping what you've done in terms of, you know, like, who your head coach has been and the culture and the change and all of that.
That's all net positive. I know you're a big Jason Garrett guy.
Like, I'm just telling you right now, like, they are the first team. Just think about this. Kansas City, Andy Reid, mainstay. Baltimore, Harbaugh, mainstay. Look at San Francisco, the job Kyle Shanahan has done there. Sean Payton. And then all of a sudden, like, now it's Mike McCarthy.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Super Bowl winning coach.
He's got no offseason. Look at the consistency in those other organizations in the carryover year over year. They are the first team, like, that's ranked that's kind of got a, you know, like a new coaching situation. You know, meanwhile, you know, Pete Carroll, all he does is have his team legitimate every single year, and they're two spots behind them. Like, I just – Dallas is too high.
That's probably a reflection of the last time they met in the playoffs.
Oh, is that what it is?
I got to go. I got to go. You waited the end of the segment to bring this up. You could have done it at the beginning. I'm up against the break. I got to go.
You really want to talk about water polo. Okay.
That's right. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's ESPN NFL, and it's Tim Hasselbeck here on the Will Cain Show. I got to go because we got to vote on who nominated the worst spy movie. We're going to need a little bit of time because somebody needs a talking to. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The genre was spy movies. Who nominated the worst? It's a Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The nominations went like this here. Will, Argo. Pat, Austin Powers. Bubba, MacGruber. Mike A., Red Sparrow. And Nuno, Breach. All during the commercial break, there was tense silence. Everybody saying, just save it for air. Just save it for air. So I don't know how to get into discussion, but I know we need to do it right away. We're all sitting on our tongues right now. Is that what you say? Is that a thing to say? We're all sitting on our statements. Let's just get this out here. Okay, I got two that were clearly in the bottom. We're going to nominate worst right now. We'll nominate best in the third hour of the show. I know who's in the bottom two. The only question is, who is the worst? Nuno, it was your category. Which was the worst?
See, I have a feeling that I'm going to catch heat from you guys because I might have broken protocol and taken a movie that I didn't watch. But
what?
Even though it was actually one of the better movies that we watched.
I don't understand what you're saying.
He means a new movie he'd never seen before, not that he didn't watch. You watched
Your
movie. Right?
I guess you speak Nuno better than I do.
I'll get to you in a second. But, like, we are all grown men. Like, I don't know what kind of state of mind you were when you watched MacGruber, but that was the worst thing I've watched. Since I actually developed a taste in things. That was horrendous.
He's against the ropes.
It wasn't even a spy movie. But I digress. MacGruber is the worst. I'm selecting MacGruber.
Bubba, he's gone after you. He has a point. Was MacGruber even a spy?
You know, I mean, I might be able to give him that. You know, he was a former Navy SEAL, and, you know, he went, former UTEP football player. Ryan
definitely
went
to
the whole thing.
Spy.
You know,
he was like a Rambo-type character, MacGyver, Rambo.
He did it all.
There were enough spy elements. I'll give Bubba the benefit of the doubt. There were enough spy
They went undercover. Yeah.
Go ahead, Pat. What was worst, Pat?
Breach. Breach was really not good. I did not enjoy Breach at all. It was really, really slow and boring for, like, most of the movie.
Well, you're un-American, so I would understand that. You might be a communist. Well, we definitely know you're a socialist. You might be a communist.
Wow, the haymakers are flying over
He's
Breach.
He's just swinging wildly. He's got no defense. Breach wasn't good.
We should take note for a moment to mention it was a big Ryan Phillippe weekend. We've had big weekends in the past. It was a big David Spade weekend by pure accident a few weeks ago, a big Brad Pitt weekend. This was the Ryan Phillippe weekend, apparently, with appearances in MacGruber and Breach. By the way, which each now have a vote for last place. Mike A., what was the worst?
All right, so I went in thinking Friday, Bubba's got the worst. I've seen MacGruber. I've hated it. I watched it. I got two good hard laughs out of it. That's about it. Then I watched Austin Powers. Gotta tell you, didn't hold up. I'm curious if he picked the wrong Austin Powers, if that was the problem. But the second one, I didn't laugh. I wanted to, didn't have it. Austin Powers, last.
Wow, we've got a split vote so far. I'm going to tell you something. I thought Austin Powers held up much better than I thought it would.
See?
And I do wonder if number two is the best, because I don't remember number one now. Pat, that's you feel confident two was the best one?
I think it was. They built on the stuff from the first one, and the second one was much funnier.
All right, three-way tie right now. Bubba, let's get your vote on the record. What was worst?
All right, I basically agree with Mike. It clearly comes down to MacGruber and Austin Powers. I'm a big fan of MacGruber, but it's clearly fourth. I watched Austin Powers, hadn't seen it since theaters in high school. I didn't laugh once. It's Austin Powers.
Oh,
dear,
my gosh.
What the? I thought it held up better.
All right, I had two bottom two. And I'm going to tell you right now, Austin Powers wasn't in the bottom two. So the bottom two movies were clearly MacGruber and Red Sparrow.
I knew you were the two worst.
Mike, Red Sparrow's slow. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense.
None of it.
But it's better than MacGruber. MacGruber's really bad.
We got a 2-2 tie.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. We have a tie between MacGruber and Austin Powers. We need you to help. 888-729-3776. That's how we did it before, right, guys? The phone lines, the listeners choose.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.